Wir gerne sehen, was ist los? It's deinen Freundo, Seth. I'm learning German. Yeah, in case you didn't know what that was. That is me trying to impress you with the little German that I know. Right now, I am actually learning German. I took it in high school. I goofed off the entire time. I did some other language learning apps. They taught me things like where the taxi stand is and how to find a bus, but not a lot of conversational German. Thankfully, that's what Babbel is all about. Babbel teaches you language conversationally, which, let's face it, that is what you want to know anyway. I don't know. When I was in school, you learned like how to count. You learned like the colors. You learned the shapes. Those are all important things, but they don't help you when you're in like Cologne, Germany with Ein Nierenstein, which, by the way, is German for kidney stone, an experience I can unfortunately speak personally to. But I've been using Babbel to learn to speak German again, better than I have before. I actually really like it because it is conversational. It's a little bit more relaxed. One of the things that it does that I really like is it'll sometimes show you what the literal English translation is. And I don't know why, but I find that very helpful in sort of understanding the structure, the grammar of a language, and sort of putting myself into that mind space. Since I'm only in Germany for Gamescom, which is like a week, week and a half, I'm not immersed in the German language. I'm not immersed in German culture. So what I do is the second best thing. I'm taking Babbel. Hopefully this year when I go to Germany, I'll be able to impress all the Germans with how much German I know from learning through Babbel. The app has pronunciation recognition, so you'll be able to learn how to speak better with your accent, how to actually properly pronounce the words. That way you won't get made fun of by a group of older German men because you said apple strudel and not Apfelstrudel. No, it's really cool. I'm going to say right now there is a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, because you guys are the best ones, by the way, at babbel.com/realm. Get 60% off at babbel.com/realm. That is spelled babbel.com/realm. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
How's it going, everybody? This is the Nintendo Voice Chat Podcast. I'm your host. My name is Craig Harris. I'm with Scott.
What's going on, Internet?
We got Jack.
Hey, Koobalings.
And we got Sam.
Hi, hi.
This is going to be a very difficult podcast for me to get through. Luckily, we've got some liquid to get
us through.
Because
Donkey Kong is that bad?
No.
Yeah. I think all of our lubricants are going to make it even harder to get through.
Well,
are we having sex with Craig?
No.
Because this is going to be hard for me to get through.
You're all about to become Craig mates.
Now, this is going to be my last podcast, folks.
I mean, say it ain't so, Craig.
It's no surprise to people sitting in this office, but for you guys who have been paying attention, today I made the announcement that I am leaving IGN after 13 and a half years. And so, yeah, this is going to be a very difficult podcast for me. My last Nintendo Voice Chat podcast, I think I'm going to be on GameScoop.
What's going on, everybody?
Yeah, what's up, everybody? But yeah, so this is my last podcast for the Nintendo Voice Chat, and I don't know what's going to happen with the podcast, but I'm sure that my replacement, which we can't reveal yet, hopefully he'll be taking over.
It's actually Mario.
No, it's not Mario.
I predict the podcast will disappear for a month.
I would, yeah. I would think that the person who's going to be sitting in my role would have to have, you know, have a settling in time.
Yeah.
But hopefully it'll pick up steam again. But yeah. It's out of my hands, out of my control. But luckily I'm going out on a high note because my last review is Donkey Kong Country Returns.
Oh, Yonkey Dong!
You guys are all prepared for that.
Yeah,
we're sitting there waiting.
They met eyes. It was really cute.
But before we get into talking about the game, because I was playing it over the weekend, let's dig into some of this this liquid refreshment.
Craigway
to celebrate.
Oh, the last Craigway.
No, Craigway will live on forever.
No,
it's like the Rover Report.
So thanks to the listeners who sent in some. We got rum. We got tequila. We've got whiskey. So is this a? Do you think this is a? A celebration for whiskey, tequila, or rum.
I think it's a celebration for all three.
Oh, we're not making suicides.
I want to bust the scotch open.
I'm gonna have. Well, you know, I need to have the vodka because that was brought in by a lovely, lovely young woman who, David Donnelly's sister.
So the
or David Donnelly's.
You want the rum or the?
Matt Donnelly's sister. Ooh. David Donnelly's. Water?
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't. Do you want to just drink the vodka straight?
It's vodka.
Yeah, of course I want to drink vodka straight.
I'm going to try.
It's kind of boring.
Everyone who's
here, Jack, put some. Can I get?
Yeah, you want some of this Red Bull?
Yeah, I'll get a little.
Yeah.
You're actually gonna mix
vodka Red Bull. It's a vodka Red Bull.
Yeah. Wait, this fancy vodka. I'm gonna mix it with Red Bull.
Yeah.
Come on.
I don't know how fancy that vodka is. It looks like it's a.
It's from Trader Joe's. It's totally fancy.
Damn, Scott.
Tito's brand of vodka.
Scott's jokes are going to get funnier to him.
I wish we had printed out the names because I've forgotten everyone who's
sent it. So it's right on the bottle.
Matt Donnelly.
Yeah.
Matt Donnelly.
This one was sent by Doers.
Yeah.
Well, every time someone walks past my desk and they see the Kraken, they're like, oh, Kraken rum. That's cracking. So awesome. So I'm going to have to try some. Right. So we're going
to
try
I'm
a little
have to
bit.
So
too.
Another name whose name I've forgotten, but we, a couple weeks ago, we told you all to keep sending us booze, and I said to address it to your favorite
Koopaling.
To your favorite
you didn't bring
podcast member. And I am proud to say that the first package arrived to Jack, the best one, DeVries, and was a bottle of Jaeger.
Nice.
With a note that said to get me drunk on it. Unfortunately, I'm not drinking for the month of November. I made a promise to some friends of mine that I would not drink this month. But come November, I'm going to get wasted on
this. Do I know these friends?
Yeah, Tim and Mark.
Okay, cool.
They got mad at me after.
Did they?
Yeah, when I got roofied.
Which is totally true. It's not. Yeah, doesn't sound like an excuse. It's totally true.
Yeah, my my fake how
fathers?
Do I describe them? Yeah, my fake dads.
My fake dads.
It's like it's like an 80s show.
They are old enough to be your dad.
They are nearly. They're old. If I'm the age that I look and they're real age, they are old enough. But they got mad at me when I got super drunk, and they grounded me. So
okay.
Yeah.
So you're not allowed to drink.
I'm not allowed to
I
drink.
I will tell them that you didn't drink.
Yeah.
But anyway, so cheers, guys.
Yes. Cheers.
Yes.
Craigway.
Great working with you.
Yes.
Likewise. Chin chin. And Scott has a drink for Jack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Scott's just going to drink
vodka.
Double.
Wow. That is like, there's a nice little bite to that rum.
I'm going
to
try the
That's a black spiced rum.
Some crack.
I like it cracking. Nice rum there.
So I got drunk this weekend and played 007 a lot.
Hopefully the Wii one and not the DS one.
No, just the Wii one. I haven't played the DS
hopefully
one.
Not Bloodstone.
No, I'm not going to play Bloodstone. I wanted to have the nostalgia experience. Even though I didn't really play the first game too much, I remember the slightest amounts of it.
That's another high note for me, is being able to review GoldenEye on the Wii. I think that game is fantastic.
That was just such an unexpected game to come out.
Yeah.
So weird.
I mean, everyone assumed that it was going to be like this cash-in. They're going to capitalize on the whole Nintendo 64
because a lot of 007
like
games
and
have been cash-ins.
Totally true. I mean, EA did it, like, what, 4 or 5 years ago with Rogue Agent? GoldenEye Rogue Agent? Yep. And it had nothing to do with GoldenEye whatsoever. It just had a bad guy that had a golden eye.
It really
Are you kidding me?
That was Bond. No, it's totally true. The bad guy had a golden eye.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, so that's how they kind of tied it into GoldenEye, the namesake.
Yeah, that was BS.
Yeah. If you have not played GoldenEye on the Wii, totally do it.
It's cool.
Hopefully.
You know what works well in that game is the stealth. And it works better than any other first-person shooter I've played in a long time. Like,
I love
you can sneak through levels, and it's clever, and it's cool.
And the stealth part where they get alerted, you actually get a little sound cue when they're looking around.
Hey, what's that?
And if you shoot the guy that's looking around, the sound goes, it kind of sucks back in that whole
alert.
Yeah,
it's a
gameplay
element.
Really cool.
It's not supposed to be realistic. It's cool.
I like it a lot.
Yeah.
It's I've been playing it a lot more. And it's... You were right, Craig. It is superior to the N64 version.
You think so? Superior? Yeah.
I'm not just hot air over here.
No. I mean, I will give the N64 one credit for being, to this day, the most accurate movie to film... or
really?
Film... Yeah, film to video That's game funny. Translation.
What about Attack of the Killer Tomatoes for NES?
I don't know. You did not play Aliens on the Apple II?
No, but what I'm saying is the original game followed the movie.
Right.
E.T.?
The sets. Well, yeah, I remember. I loved that scene in E.T. where
he couldn't get out.
And then he had to stretch his head up to get out. Yeah.
That was good. I love that scene. Over and over and over again. But yeah, every set piece in the 64 one was in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And... every character. So,
what does that mean? Every set piece,
like the sets.
Was the dam in the movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
What takes place? Is that the opening? Okay, I don't think I've ever seen
everything
the
in the movie looked the same in the game.
Right.
So, like the control room, like
they actually made a
mapped it out. So it's
But they changed locations in the remake, right?
Yeah.
Totally, there's no like satellite in it, right?
What? Wait,
the satellites.
Like the big satellite dish.
The satellite's different.
No, it's there.
It's there.
It just doesn't look the same, though, right? It's not like a big like Arecibo.
Have you gotten to
dish,
Siberia
right?
yet?
Yeah, like, I'm
basically,
Siberia.
when you're in snow, like, have you gotten to the situation where the GoldenEye actually goes off and then the helicopters crash to the ground?
I can
and all
see
that stuff?
A dish in the distance, but it's not the same as
it's
like
the
big
one.
Like the one that's spread on the ground.
No. But that's
supposed to be the same thing.
That's the end of the game is where the fight at the big GoldenEye. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very.
It's all coming together. See, I haven't beat it yet, but I am there.
Yeah. I'm not ruining anything because it's based on the movie, and the movie has a fight at the end, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it sucks, so I've really been enjoying that game, and I want to play it, and I even was holding off on playing Call of Duty, though I played a little bit of that this weekend, but my girlfriend got Kinect, I got it for her, and she has been hogging the TV.
Jack's been hogging my TV with Sly.
Sly Cooper, man.
Yeah. Our plasma television, the big one, went bad. The power supply went out.
Yeah.
And so that's in repair. So I brought in my other television, the smaller one, from my room to the main room. Unfortunately, Jack's got work to do. I'm quitting. I'm not going to be playing much after this week. So I have to leave priority to Jack's.
I know.
Work.
I get to cult dibs on the TV now all the time.
The Sly remake, not Nintendo stuff, but a good looking remake.
Oh,
like,
yeah. I'm
that's something
it.
That the Wii could excel in is like cell shaded widescreen, really pretty graphics. Like, I wish they would do more of that.
Yeah.
Because I feel like
They tried to do remakes and it stopped. You know,
I like
I think Wind Waker would be really pretty.
I like the new play control things. I thought Pikmin was great.
Did not do well.
Yeah, but no. Yeah. People didn't want
to
buy Pikmin.
Yeah, they just stopped
again.
That series after those games.
Yeah. Pikmin 2
I mean, that's
Japan.
Smart for the consumer, right? Because the people that liked Pikmin probably owned that game already, you know?
And exactly.
They kind of showed Nintendo, this is a little crass to be reissuing.
And they didn't do much of a, like, promotion-wise.
Now, if they had added achievements, then we'd be talking. Because they did for Sly Cooper.
Yeah.
There's, like, 300 trophies in that game.
It's three sets of trophies.
Yeah, three platinums.
Four. There's
plus,
a minigames one.
Well, there's no platinum for the minigames.
But
there's minigame trophies in addition to the three platinums you get for the game. So.
And that adds up to, like, 180 or something. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's enough to, like, bump you up a whole
And you've
level.
Been getting them all, right?
Yeah, I'm working through. I'm making sure that I get them all.
See, man, I hope the 3DS works in something like that.
I think they're wising up. I honestly believe that there will be something in place because you're gonna have some sort of entity. They've said this. You're gonna have some sort of entity. So when you walk around the streets, people will get your entity. You know, like through that street pass thing. Where it gets wirelessly connected to, like, the bark mode.
Are we talking about earwigs here? Are they going to drop something in our ear?
No.
We'll have an entity that we carry around with
us?
Yeah, well, you have an online entity. I'm not saying this is going to be an online
entity. So different than friend codes in which, like, the friend code is a match of your system and a game. Like, this is something that you will always have, like a profile.
Yeah, profile. Yeah, that's what it means.
Stream.
So, yeah. But, over the weekend I played a bunch of Donkey Kong Country Returns. Mm-hmm. And
oh, yonka dong. Kirby.
No, we're done with Kirby. Kirby's done.
Is Kirby the final boss?
Carbox.
No. Is Mario the final boss? We can't talk about that yet. You know what, though? That's my theory. And as far as I can tell, Ryan Scott has confirmed it with Nintendo by asking them, is Mario the boss? And they said, we can't say anything about who the boss is.
Good.
So you know
it's
Mario.
That's how you confirm everything with Nintendo. Yeah. Yeah. If they don't say no,
well, they don't
it's
confirm nor
yes.
deny anything.
Denying is no, and no comment is yes.
Yes.
Yeah. how does Putnam Whipple say Golden Dawn? Or Golden Sun?
They say Yolden Sun.
Yolden Sun.
Yolden Gone.
Golden Shower.
No.
Oh, yeah, well, don't go there.
I don't understand.
I'm about to Pikachu that.
What is Golden Shower?
But I was going into Donkey Kong Country Returns kind of like, meh, it's pretty good boilerplate, you know, Donkey Kong Country, you know, they brought it to the 3D and but getting through the game, like all the way up to about 5, I was like that. I was like, yeah, this is good. But then all of a sudden 6 on, it was just crazy.
Yep.
And it's just
Are you allowed to talk about how many worlds there are?
I guess.
There's more than 6 and 7, apparently.
Craig's going out. He doesn't care about embargoes anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
Here come all Craig's Nintendo secrets he's been sitting on.
Well, I still
Rogue have Squadron 8 planned.
Keep a relationship with Nintendo.
Wii HD.
Kid Icarus for Wii.
Here
confirmed.
It comes.
Yeah. But, 6, 7, 8 was just crazy stuff, and then there's more stuff after that.
That
and
level you were playing this morning was
insane.
Pikachu insane.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. If you want 100% this game, you're going to be spending a lot of time, and you're going to be spending a lot of deaths. And there are a ton of 1-ups in this game, but you're going to need them all. And like you can buy 1-ups. So it's like, you know, you can actually have a profile that has like 50, 60, 70 lives on it.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there and ask you the important question.
What's that?
Have you found Funky Kong yet?
Funky Kong is gone on vacation.
I ask you every week if Funky Kong's in the game.
Nope.
Is Candidong in the
game?
No.
Oh, Candidong. Yeah.
But there are other characters like Cranky.
Cranky is in the game.
Who's the original DK?
You keep saying that.
He is.
Is he?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because in the Super Nintendo game, he talks about it.
Okay.
He's like, when I was a kid, we had to climb ladders and stuff like that.
Yeah, but he kind of just alludes to it. He's not actually confirming that he was actually Donkey Kong.
I think Nintendo Power confirmed that Cranky Kong is... Oh, Cranky Kong is Yonkadong. Yeah, well, it's him. And so, Donkey Kong...
Yeah,
is,
but you know what?
That's as tenuous as saying
there was a comic strip with Battletoads who were just original... They were just basically like... game programmers or gamers.
Yeah, Rash Pimple and Zitz.
And they got turned into the Battletoads. Do you think
that's
canon?
That's totally. How the cartoon goes.
Really?
Here they come. Yeah. It's the Battletoads.
Yeah.
Battletoads.
I'd rather have the idea that they're just Battletoads.
They're humans that got turned into toads, not toads that got turned into muscular toads. Yeah.
Or they just exist.
They just exist.
Like, but it's unique because the Ninja Turtles started as turtles, but they started as nerds.
What kind of? That's true.
How did nerds get turned into like buff anything? Why were they just nerdy toads?
And was the buff guy that used to beat him up but hung out with him anyway turned into a chicken?
A chick.
As, like weak, smart chicken. Well, like, that's the opposite of you.
So what's canon for the turtles? So, like in the cartoon, it was the sensei was a human. He got turned into a rat. Whereas in the comics,
he was
in the comics, he's a rat that evolved into a human rat.
Yeah.
So what's canon for that?
Because they're all in the sewer, right? The turtles and the rat.
Yeah, the live action movie.
The live action movie. So
go ninja, go ninja, go.
He was just a regular rat.
He was a rat who learned
smart
kung
rat.
Fu.
Have you guys ever seen like the Star Wars canon breakdown where they have like universe canon C, canon T, canon? Have you ever seen that?
That's how Marvel goes too.
Yeah, that must be what Ninja Turtles is, but it's like, you know.
Wasn't the original April Black too? I mean, she wasn't.
I think she was a little too Raph.
She's yellow.
Really?
She's in a yellow coat. All
a little too Raph. A little too quiet.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Please explain.
From the movie, from Ninja Turtles.
From the Pico movie.
They were sneaking around, and it was like, it's quiet, a little too quiet. And then there was another scene, it was like, oh, it's big, a little too big. And then there was Raphael tied up, and they're like, it's Raph, a little too Raph.
The writing in that
it's
is
a good sound.
Brilliant.
Yeah. But look it up on YouTube.
A little too Raph.
A little too Raph.
It's a good line. Yeah.
So are you guys excited for Donkey Kong Country or am I just...
I'm excited for Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm
more
totally
excited than any other game coming out in the next couple weeks.
Were you guys a fan of the original Super
Nintendo
game?
I loved the first one and didn't like the second and third ones as much, but I really liked the first one.
Yeah, first one was amazing. I still remember going to E3 and them showing that off along with Star Fox 2.
Oh, Starbucks.
And they canceled Star Fox 2 because Donkey Kong Country got all the press. And
I still remember being 10 years old in the Toys R Us and playing the demo.
For Star Fox 2?
No, for
What if
for
you
Donkey
went
Kong.
To his Babbage's and played it?
That would have been weird. I was that kid that
paths.
Stole stuff.
Hey, that's right. I worked at Babbage's.
Yeah, you did.
Wow.
Drink!
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway. I'm playing a Donkey Kong game right now that's not that game. I'm playing Donkey Kong 94, and it is so freaking cool.
Yeah.
It's such a good game. I'm playing it for Game Boy
Actually,
Color.
Actually,
And Damon just reviewed the new Donkey Kong versus Mario, which is the same series, March of the Minis, but it's called something else, Minis
it's called
Mayhem.
Mario and Donkey Kong. Mario and, versus Donkey Kong.
Looking yeah, it's Mini Mayhem, I think. Something
yeah.
like that.
And he gave it like a 9.0.
Yeah.
He really
liked Damon
it.
Is a huge fan of that March of the Minis series.
And you don't like the Minis, right?
I don't. And in fact, someone wrote in, we'll get, you know, like obviously reader mail happens Craig at Wayne. The end. But because we're talking about it, I just pulled the email. It's like, this is from David Jones. He says, my question is, do you think Nintendo will be smart and release Donkey Kong 64 on the Virtual Console? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, this is the wrong email.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Whoops.
No, I thought that was it.
Preview.
Yeah. I'll keep talking. I'll find it.
Do you think
Rewind.
Blake Anthony Dabari has a gun in his mouth now that he knows it?
Here it is.
Oh, wow.
What?
Can we tell Blake Anthony Dabari that it gets better?
Hey, is the music in Donkey Kong Country as good as the original? Because I always like the music in the original.
It's great music, but obviously back in the day, you know, on the Super Nintendo, hearing that music come out of the Super Nintendo was just amazing. So, like, you know, hearing it on the current generation system, you're probably not as impressed. It's still good music. But no, this is from Vince Vesquez. Remember him?
No.
He says, why doesn't NST make another Mario versus Donkey Kong? The first one on GBA was awesome, but since they've been doing the games with those dumb little Mario toys, which is it's a completely different thing. It's more rooted in Lemmings and Donkey Kong 94 at this point. I, for one, much prefer my Mario arcade action to feature ladders, hammers, and simple platforming.
Well, that is Donkey Kong 94.
Yeah.
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 So he says that this new game is more like Donkey Kong. Or he wants it to be like Donkey Kong.
Well, do you want me to read it again?
No.
It's more rooted
read it backwards.
It's more rooted in Lemmings than Donkey Kong 94
Donkey Kong
at this
94.
Point.
Okay.
Yes.
I thought you said and.
No. Well, I could have. I don't know. I'm drunk. I, for one, much prefer my Mario arcade action to feature ladders, hammers, and simple platforming than guiding a bunch of stupid toys away from certain death. I hope NST is all right. They haven't seemed to have done anything of note since Project Hammer was canceled. And I totally agree.
They didn't do anything of note Project Hammer ever in the last five years.
Nintendo Secrets.
Nintendo's.
What?
Yeah.
You guys don't know about Project Hammer?
Project Hammer was a
Nintendo's
was a launch
weather
title.
Machine.
Was a launch title.
For the Wii.
What was it?
It was like this game where you swung around your Wii remote to hammer and bag. It was like a brawler.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, it was like a big Hagar like guy.
Yeah.
It was like
Malice, but darker and grittier.
What happened to that game?
They canceled it.
Man, and Disaster Day of Crisis never came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the United States.
In the United States. It's out. It's in Japan, as far as I know, right?
Yeah. It's out of Europe.
Yeah. But no, going back to this email, I totally agree with this guy. Damon loves, and I'm not going to rag on his review at all. If he loves the game, he loves the game. I was just never a fan of that March of the Minis game at all. And I would much rather play the game that you're talking about, Mario 94.
Or Mario versus Donkey Kong.
Oh, I'm sorry, Donkey Kong
is
94.
Just as good, right?
Which one?
Mario versus Donkey Kong.
Yeah,
I just
don't like the art style. I never did. That whole rendered art style, I think the pixel
See,
art
I don't like
better.
That in Donkey Kong Country.
Really?
So I think this new one looks much better than the old retro. Yeah,
well,
I never liked pre-rendered. Like, I always thought it was...
Well, back in the day, it was amazing.
I mean, it was amazing, but like I always like thought that it looked retro at the time to me for some reason. I was like, ugh. Seeing like real 3D at the time, like I thought it just didn't compare, you know?
Huh?
How'd you feel about Sonic 3D Blast?
That game is so ugly, man.
Which
it's so hard to play.
Sonic 3D Blast?
Sonic on Flicky Island or whatever?
Yeah.
That game was awful.
Well, I remember they, for Sonic 3D Blast, they canceled Sonic Extreme for the Saturn and just ported the Genesis game over.
Yeah.
And made it higher quality, like higher colors and stuff like
that. Well, so I was just more impressed with, like, say, Star Fox. Than I was with Donkey Kong graphics.
But that's on a more technical level, and, you know, gamers are more, they kind of like the whole visual pop, and, you know, obviously flat shaded polygons don't have the same
palm visual. Trees always looked really good.
Yeah, I like that. And then, like, animation was really good, too.
Yeah. I just don't think that platformer works very well, because Donkey Kong was too big, and, like, there was little platforms, and he just felt like he jumped quickly and didn't float and came down. Like, I need my platformers to have a Mario feel. Or to have double jump. Like, that's just, like, that's the way, like, I don't feel like Donkey Kong is tuned right. It doesn't feel like a Miyamoto, like, really well done.
I don't think Mario had a double jump during the Donkey Kong Country era either. So
no,
I'm
saying if it doesn't feel like Mario, I needed to have a double jump to make the accuracy work. Because Mario is, like, perfect, like, you know, arc physics, and you control him in the air. And then Donkey Kong, I don't know. I always felt like he jumped really vertically. And then just kind of came down. It doesn't feel right to me. It never did. Yeah.
That's how a gorilla jumps.
That's true. And that's the problem. I think it's flawed. Like, they made Donkey Kong like just this big, bulky character. And he doesn't really have any abilities except for this poor jumping ability.
Slams the ground to uncover hidden things. And there's a lot of that where you shake the controller to to slam the ground to reveal things. And they actually added this it other
blows
mechanic.
In this one. Right?
That's the weird thing. I think that's my biggest complaint is this blow mechanic. This mm-hmm. does not need to be there. Yeah, here he goes. Here he goes.
Wow, that's all
I
think.
I just laughed because Jack did.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, it was funny.
Well, okay, what other mechanic would you call it? I mean, how would you explain that? The breath mechanic?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, he blows.
Right, he blows.
Yeah.
Donkey Kong blows in this game.
Yeah.
Donkey Kong blows. Kirby sucks.
Yeah. Kirby does not suck in Epic Yarn.
No. Oh, Kirby barf.
Does he swallow?
Yeah. He swallows. Wow, you went there.
Yeah. Sorry.
The quote unquote blow mechanic is man.
See, that was you can't blame it on me.
Which mechanic?
The blow mechanic.
Can we say balls again? Is that gonna like?
I love
get
how like
when
Sam really, like,
yeah,
Sam
I'm not
trying,
I'm not stopping the podcast.
Squinches?
Do you know Mario's yep. original name was Dick?
I thought Mario was the mechanic.
Hi-yo!
Hey-o! All right, let's go.
I got lost there.
Yeah, so blowing.
Mm-hmm.
Blowing the mechanic. I said Mario's the mechanic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like a blueberry hill.
Fantastic.
Type. Take this garbage over to Cloud yeah. Crowd.
Well, he can stomp the ground, but he can also blow.
Does a great job.
Okay, great. Yeah, good. Good. Okay. So there are little leapy spin wheels and around or like dandelions that you would just blow just for no reason other than to. There, look, he's going.
Dandelions.
And it'd be, uncover these things. But it just seems kind of unnecessary. The only time you would ever use this mechanic beneficially is to uncover like hidden items within the like the flora by blowing at it.
How do you know where
there'll be an enemy that's on fire and you can blow at that.
I mean, is there like a crack in the scenery that you know to examine?
You just look in the scenery and if you see a dandelion or you see a pinwheel, you know you're gonna have to like, breathe on it. Mm. So I just find it completely out of place. And it actually affects the way you, because like they add, it's on the shake. So if you shake the controller when mm-hmm. you're not pushing down, it's that's the ground stomp.
How about we call it monkey breath?
Monkey breath. There you go. Yeah. Okay. And then when you push down and then you shake the control, that's the blow mechanic, breath mechanic, the
monkey
breath
mechanic.
Yeah. And then if you're moving left or right and you shake the controller, you'll roll.
Rolls.
Now, I don't know if we've ever talked about this in the podcast, but
Babbage's.
That's great. Yeah.
Drink.
I didn't do it. I didn't say it. But the controls themselves, they show the Wii Remote nunchuck as the regular controller, but it's been proven that you can just use a regular Wii Remote without the nunchuck. Mm.
Was it a secret?
It's not really a secret more than it is just Nintendo wanted to focus on the two-handed play.
Oh, okay.
Because you're shaking the controller like you're...
That's unusual.
Yeah. But in this
you
one,
prefer one of them, right?
Yeah, I actually prefer holding the controller classic-wise because of this mechanic that I'm trying to get to, where if you're rolling... Basically, if you shake the controller while you're pushing the control stick, you'll roll. But if you want to ground stomp, you have to let go of the controller and ground stomp. Otherwise, if you're moving just a little bit with the left or right on the analog stick, you'll accidentally roll and sometimes off a cliff.
Hmm.
So you don't usually have that problem with the D-pad because it's on or off. And there's no like variances of left or right. So like if you're getting a little cocky,
that's a pretty significant problem. I'm surprised that made in the game.
Yeah,
it's just analog sensitivity.
Yeah, it's
right?
analog sensitivity. So I mean, like, you can play with the Wii Remote nunchuck, but I found myself dying a lot more accidentally using that control scheme. But yeah, I'm having a great time. Can't wait to finally.
Are there minecart levels?
are there minecart levels? Dude,
there are two different kinds.
They like irritating and you don't like them? Or
no,
like
I like them.
Okay. You were playing a minecart level this morning where I was like, what mm-hmm. the Pikachu is going?
Yeah,
on
you have
there?
To. Yeah, because like there are two different types of minecart levels. There's one where you're inside the minecart and when you jump with the cart.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one where you're on top of the cart and when you jump, the cart. Doesn't jump with you. So you're jumping in the air and you have to follow the cart and land on it.
Yeah, doing a hippie jump.
But then there's also the mine cart that has grass
yeah,
underneath
so that's,
it
that's,
that
that's,
you have to jump,
yeah.
grab, and hold on to the grass and hang on to it and then jump onto a cart below while jumping. It's mind-blowing.
So that was the second kind when you're jumping out of the mine cart and there'll be like a grass texture above you because like in this game you can actually climb around on grass texture. Mm. So they kind of combine that in the mine cart level.
So like King of Swing? You have to tilt the Wii Remote.
No, you don't do that. But yeah, so it's super challenging. Lots of old school references. I think a lot of people noticed in the background of one screenshot where there's like the Donkey Kong Jr. math Donkey Kong holding up the Wii remote in the background. You ever see that?
Yeah, like, I saw that.
Yeah. In one of the later levels.
Well, what does that have to do with Donkey Kong Jr.?
Cranky's actually on top of it, pointing down, saying, "This is me."
Yeah.
What?
I don't get what you mean by Donkey Kong Jr. math.
Yeah, he's in that game. Donkey Kong is actually holding up a sign.
Yeah,
with the
number
answers
on it. Okay.
So instead of holding up a sign, he's holding up a Wii remote.
Is it like a
sprite.
Pixelated?
Yeah,
Donkey
it's a
Kong
pixelated.
Yeah. It's a giant like statue
it's
in the
a giant
background.
Giant pixelated Donkey Kong on top of a mountain, oh, yeah. Like a monument.
Because Donkey Kong isn't in Donkey Kong Jr. math.
Yeah, he is.
Yes, he is.
Just Donkey Kong Jr. is.
No, he's
Donkey
on the top,
Kong Jr.
holding
solves
up the holding up the answers.
Okay, weird. I thought he had Mario in a cage up there.
No.
Or Mario had him in a cage.
But as I was saying, there was another old school reference, and later in the level, I saw Mr. Game & Watch in the background.
Really?
So,
really?
Yes. Yeah.
Lurking in the shadows,
yep.
So to speak.
Or helping him or something. Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. But yes, Mr. Game & Watch in Donkey Kong Country returns.
Confirmed.
So they managed to get him in there, but no Kanda Dong.
Nope.
No Funky Jong.
No Dixie Kong.
No Dixie.
Are there mini games at all?
Yeah. Well, when you find, I guess mini games in the sense you have to get all the bananas,
mm-hmm.
In one like one non-scrolling room.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, there's that. That's every level has one of
those.
But
the whole game is just the like the campaign mode. There isn't like outside the campaign mode. There's not like different options to do different things.
Nah. Yeah. You can collect. So basically, every level has a bunch of the KONG letters that you collect. And it has puzzle pieces, and it depends on the level. There'll be like some that have 5, some have 6, some have 7. And then if you get all those puzzle pieces, it'll unlock art outside of the game. If you collect all the Kong letters in a world, if you do that, then something else opens up. But you have to finish the game first.
How's co-op looking?
Co-op's really cool, but I don't know if I'd want to play co-op in the later levels.
Gets hard.
It gets super.
You know, that's
hard.
Like New Super Mario Brothers Wii. I mean, you can have fun playing, yeah. You know, with your little brother and sister, like in co-op. But then once you get to like the later levels, you're like, all right, I'm gonna carry you, or you have to quit out.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. It doesn't have the bubble mechanic, but it has the just sit back, and then all of a sudden Diddy Kong and Donkey Kong will just come together, and you can keep going. But
and there's also the Luigi mode. Or whatever it's called.
Yeah,
the super guide.
So yeah, so like if you die like 10 times, which will happen a lot in this game, if you die 10 times, or actually I think it's like 8, this pig character, I don't know, they kind of make him like kind of mysterious anyway. He's got this pig with glasses. He'll like wave at you, and he's like, hey, hit plus, and you plus. He's like, would you like the super guide? And you say yes, and then all of a sudden it goes to that autoplay mode. But instead of Donkey Kong, it's Super Kong, the white version of Donkey Kong. He plays for you.
It's after you get all the Chaos Emeralds.
Yeah. I was just going to say that. That's funny. What's interesting about that is that in Mario and New Super Mario Bros. Wii, if you had Luigi ever appear, like if you ever died that much,
yeah.
That precluded you from getting the fifth star by your name.
Oh, really?
So, like, even getting him to appear was a problem in that game. So, like,
that's mean.
In this, like, how mean are they going to be? Like, is there going to be something that you can't do if you ever get
doesn't,
to appear?
It doesn't look like it because,
you die
and
so
like,
much.
It, they you know, I was going to say that, you know, Retro is showing no mercy with some of these level designs, but they actually do because you collect coins that can be used to purchase extra lives. Invincibility. You just go to Cranky Kong's hut, and so like you can either buy lives, or you can buy an invincibility potion or an extra heart. So like you can actually add an extra heart to your character if you're having problems getting through like a boss or something like that. I've used it a couple times, but it doesn't like it actually hurt any sort of like progression. It doesn't doesn't like put a little check mark next to a level that I finished using an invincibility potion,
right, yeah,
which I never actually used. I did not use invincibility, but I definitely used an extra heart. And that was definitely important in some of the boss battles. But it doesn't really mark that as... It's just an extra little help. There's a whole mechanic behind getting coins. When you jump on enemies, if you jump on 3 enemies in a row, you'll get a coin. And if you keep jumping on enemies, you get an additional coin. It's kind of like a one-up thing, but you're getting coins that you can use to purchase one-ups.
Is there an enemy coming down the stairs and you can just jump on them a whole bunch and just rack
no,
up the coins and then start getting... Balloons popping out.
But you saw one of the designs in the hard levels where there's like a series of like 9 or 10 enemies.
It's like the real Super Mario Brothers 2 in Japan, where you have to jump on characters to actually get to the spot that you need.
So there's some crazy. Yeah, you will die a lot, but luckily you have plenty of opportunities for extra lives.
There's also a run button in this game, right? To make it more like Mario, which is cool.
I don't know if the run button is used in the actual Wii Remote Nunchuck version, but in the classic controller mode, then yes, there is. Mm-hmm. Because in the Nunchuck version, you have an analog control.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, yeah, maybe that, yeah,
that's all
true.
It is. Yeah, so you don't need the run button. But
I'm just so used to holding down the button while I'm jumping.
Well, yeah, because like if you're using classic controller, you want to grab onto like the grass texture. You have to hold that run button down and then let go of it.
Sure.
Whereas in the Nunchuck controller mode, you have to hold the B button down to grab things, but that's not your run button. So yeah.
All good. It's funny because this is apparently the last Wii game that's ever coming out because Nintendo hasn't announced anything else.
Well,
Zelda's getting canceled.
Yeah, I guess there's Zelda. Don't say that. And the Conduit.
Don't say that.
Confirmed.
You think Zelda's going to get canceled?
It'll get moved to Wii.
You know what? I think it's going to get moved to the next system.
It'll get delayed first.
Craig,
you know what? That would mean that the next system is motion control, so I hope not.
Yeah, it'll definitely get delayed till fall.
Moving on to like the thinking of what the next system is going to be. Don't think it's going to be motion control?
Oh, here come Craig's Nintendo secrets.
I don't think it's going to be the same kind of thing. I don't think they could. I don't think they could do a Wii 2 and have it be successful. And they shouldn't. They should like.
You don't think that
do something new. Scrap it.
You don't think the Wii Remote Plus is a step forward to the next system?
No.
Really?
Really?
No,
I think play it really safe and do like Super Wii, add 4 buttons to the Wii Remote.
I think the Wii Remote
that sounds
Plus
awful.
Is
shoulder buttons.
Playing catch up to the original design that it should have
make
had.
It purple.
Like what?
Yeah,
what
was the
like it should have worked.
Yeah, it's just making it work.
You know,
they took the Wii and added a convenient carrying handle? To
Oh yeah,
it?
Yeah.
I think
sold right. And change the size of the buttons on the controller so that they're completely different.
Maybe some kidney bean shapes. Yeah, just break out of the box.
Yeah.
And then make the discs much smaller.
And hey, let's just make the graphics worse. I mean, why even slightly improve them?
Yeah.
You know what I think we should
do? I still don't want online.
A controller that's shaped like an M.
All controllers are shaped like M's now.
Oh.
Well, I don't know. I think what's this?
You know what?
Scott's onto something here.
I think they should actually make a controller shaped like an X.
Do you know what they should do? They should take the D-pad and just make it tiny and inoperable.
Yeah.
And you know, one of those analog sticks, just get rid of them.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
but it's something that's like hard to use.
Yeah,
take a note from the Dreamcast.
Nub. Yeah, nub. I like that.
Put the cord in the wrong place.
Yeah.
On the classic controller.
Did you ever see the mock-ups of what the Wii Remote or what the Wii controller was going to be? Like, there's the one that was just
like the helmet.
No,
star?
No, that's the thing. That's star. Like, it was a giant star button with the buttons around it.
Oh, that's
right.
It was a star button.
Wait, where did you guys?
I remember
you see
that.
This? Yeah. This is amazing.
It was a Super Mario star.
Yeah,
and it was a button with.
This
buttons
was what was
going to
be launched with a GameCube, like as a GameCube.
No, this was the
it was
controller.
To be the Wii.
Well,
can you
no.
Imagine playing Black Ops with a star controller.
to be fair, the Wii controller, the Wii Remote, was supposed to be for the GameCube. That's why that was in development, and they were like. It would get more support if they just released it as, you know, one-to-one with the system.
Yeah.
And that's why they delayed it until the thing. But I'm sure that what that star thing was is for the GameCube as a peripheral.
Yeah, I bet it was a GameCube peripheral.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't just shape it like Pikachu.
People are going to wonder what word you meant to say right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shape it like a Pikachu.
It looked like a big pile of Pikachu.
Remember the Pikachu Nintendo 64?
It was great.
So cute.
There's a picture of me licking it somewhere. Jessica Chobo's got nothing on this crap. Yeah.
What, you licked a Pikachu?
I licked a Pikachu N64.
Oh,
who has it?
When we launched the Pokemon Report.
I thought maybe you ran up to the person in the costume. Pikachu,
oh, and licked it. Well, I mean, I've done that like 3 times.
Didn't somebody lick Jessica once?
Ooh.
Jim Riley.
Did that happen on a video? Like
maybe
on
Tal?
Remember?
Tal?
No. Was it Tal?
It was Tal, yeah.
Yeah.
How did that not end up with someone getting fired?
It ended up with a permanent
contract
forever.
I think it was consensual.
That's pretty funny. I got to dig up that video. I wonder if that's on still on IGN.
It's on YouTube somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about Golden Sun.
Yeah. You're actually playing a game.
You mean Golden Eye?
No.
No.
I have questions.
You have questions?
Even Golden Sun, you fan, yams boom. Do you get to play with Golden Sun?
I don't get it.
Neither do I, thank you.
Yeah.
Do if Golden Sun gets blocked by rain clouds, does it become Golden Shower?
Yes, I have a question. If Golden Sun get blocked by rain cloud, does it become Golden Shower? Thank you.
Wow. Is this the first time we've done water sports jokes on the podcast?
Yeah, this is like number 3.
That's a little
Nintendo hasn't released a water sports game in a long time.
But yeah, no, we've got a... not since Wave Race.
Oh.
Awful.
I've been in a couple Wave Races.
Go, Scott.
Gross.
Wait, have you played Golden Sun yet? Or you
yeah,
just got
I've
it,
got
right?
Golden
got
Sun, and I'm playing it, and the review goes up next Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I wasn't leaving, I'd be doing the review, because I actually played the first two.
It looks like a hardcore RPG.
It is a hardcore.
It's very hardcore.
It's a hardcore JRPG. If you like those things, here's another one.
Yeah.
That is good.
I mean, but I want to be able to make the decision. So it's coming this holiday, when I choose my one RPG of the year to play, I want to make sure I play the best one. It's going to be either that or Final Fantasy.
Oh, I would say Golden Sun.
Did you play Dragon Quest IX?
No, but so one of those three, I guess.
Right now, so it's hard for me to say because I've only just started Golden Sun. I want to say Golden Dawn, and that's not like a game.
Well, it's Dark Dawn.
Yeah, it's
Golden Sun, Dark
called.
Dawn.
So that's why I'm mixing up. If I were to, it's tough. They're all great, and I've played both of the other two. Some I'll have played all three. I don't know.
Yeah, my only issue with it is the random battles. Dragon Quest IX does not have random battles. You can see before you get into a battle. Sometimes you're forced into a battle, but in this case you're running around.
I mean, Dragon Quest is just like it's a little bit grindy. It's a little bit just kind of boring for me. Like I like the PlayStation 2 one enough to get through it, but in the end I was like, man, like that was feeding my obsession for completion more than it was any sort of fun to be at. I mean, it was.
Final Fantasy is also very grindy.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, it's very much like an SNES Final Fantasy game, like Final Fantasy V or something. And then Golden Sun, I haven't had to grind a lot so far, so that's kind of like your thing.
And they all have menu combat, right?
Yeah, it's all menu combat. Final Fantasies is really like streamlined. You don't choose who you're battling, and you can set it to do auto battles and stuff, so you can kind of really like get through it faster that way. And it's much more based on... swapping out classes, and the story is it's a little more story driven and compelling without so much being just a bunch of like word bubbles. Golden Sun has a ton of talking. They're just sitting there talking all the time, and it's characters from the old Golden Sun game talking about their last game. So it's just like your dad is Isaac from Golden Sun. And he's just like, yeah, 30 years ago, I did a thing like this. And you're like, I know. Let me play the game.
Yeah, you worked at Babbage's, Dad.
Yeah, it's great. But, yeah, I mean, they're all good. It's going to be rough to pick them. I mean, I had the benefit of playing Dragon Quest in summer, Final Fantasy in fall, and now I'm going to be going into winter with Golden Sun. So, I mean, like, that would have been the ideal way to do it, was just playing them all when they came out.
You are living the Japanese RPG lifestyle.
I am. I played them.
You got the seasons.
I played them when I came out, and it's like, boom. And then I'm going to go straight into spring with some Pokemon.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
I like that. You have a good life.
It's good. But, yeah, it's cool so far.
The cherry blossoms come out.
The summons are very nice.
New RPG to play.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the Golden Sun. The only thing I don't like about it is the random battles. That's about it.
It's one of Nintendo's really few RPGs.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't really do RPGs much unless they have Mario in them.
But it's Camelot, and you know the Camelot is very into RPGs. Even when they did a Mario Golf and Mario Tennis for the
But these are characters Nintendo could actually put in Smash Brothers and stuff, right? I think they're Nintendo owned.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure. I don't think Camelot is Nintendo owned, but they.
What are Darth and Maul from? What are those from?
Star Wars.
Fire Emblem?
Yeah, Fire Emblem, I think is what you're talking about.
Marth
and Roy.
Marth and Roy.
Darth and Maul.
Sorry, I've been writing a feature on Star Wars.
Yeah, Marth and Roy are Fire Emblem.
Fire Emblem.
And Fire Emblem is the one that took forever to come out to America.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's on NES.
It finally did.
Yeah.
I like the Fire Emblem games.
Yeah, those are good. There's a bunch of those. Now you can get them. Let's see. You know what I haven't done yet? I haven't done this.
The controversy.
The controversy. I will say that now that we've put that out there, and we got so many emails saying that they liked us saying random numbers, we can no longer say
as
random
if people
numbers.
Actually
the jokes,
needed to email
the,
about
the
that.
Joke was
actually,
dead when you first did it, and I can't believe that your material
was to do it
over and over.
That's how great jokes are born.
Yeah, but it's officially
repetition.
Died.
Yeah.
Look at Wayne. Did you hear that I used to work at Babbage's?
Drink.
You spiked the mic, too.
Someone have a coin?
See, now you can actually write about this being a drinking game for this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Actually,
well, I'm going to come up with the rules for the official NVC drinking game, Koopalings.
All right, guys. This is my... I'm actually just
looking at you, New Mew Hope.
Neo Mew.
You know, wherever.
Damon was Slayer. Damon was really evil. With this last code that he did, like, so I gave him the idea of like splitting up the codes. He took it one step further. He read the code backwards and didn't tell them until the end of the podcast.
Really?
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's good.
You know what we also did at the end of when he read the code? We started saying some random numbers.
Yeah, see, if you actually listen to GameScoop, no one on GameScoop actually says random numbers.
All Except for what we did the last episode.
We're not getting into this again.
Who listens to GameScoop?
The last episode?
Seriously. Yeah.
Greg and I say random numbers at the end of Demon's thing.
And it was hilarious.
Are you talking about last week?
Yeah.
The one I was on?
No, I guess the week before that.
Yeah, the one I was on. Uh-huh.
It's become a hilarious meme.
It's awesome.
It's the best internet meme ever.
Saying random numbers.
Hashtag it on your MyIGN page.
5783.
Well, to be fair, this is the last time I get to yell at you guys for doing it. So, that's not fair.
It's still not fair.
Oh, don't worry, Craig. We'll be prank calling you every single time we sign on.
Oh, yeah? I doubt you will. Okay, first eight numbers. 2971.
Knock that over.
2047. We'll say the next in a few more minutes.
Scott can hardly
contain himself.
Oh, my God.
Look at it. He's holding it.
Just take a drink.
Oh, come on, Scott. Do it. Just let it out. 7, 8, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah!
Go, Scott.
Scott, Mr. Predictable. How much time do we have left? We have
just drink some of my pain. Go bye bye juice.
I think we should keep this going.
Yeah, let's keep it going. I'm not gonna review
Sly Cooper today. Let's just podcast the rest of the night.
Well, we remember this thing crashes after like an hour and 8 minutes.
So we'll go for another hour and 8 minutes.
Well, we're at 42 minutes right now.
We'll just start a new file. We'll just keep it rolling. I'll release another 3 hour podcast, but this time it won't be all silence at the end.
No, we were all just playing the quiet.
I don't have much to talk about. I mean, I can say that Black Ops on Wii is not terrible.
It's not, actually, and that is important because I've been watching Nate play that a lot, and every time somebody walks by, they're like, this looks surprisingly good.
Yeah.
And that's a bad thing to say about people playing Wii games, first of all,
yep.
But they're right. It looks good.
Yeah. It's the exact same game.
I just wanted to play it for just
a little bit to kind of get to see mm-hmm. what the developer did for the Wii version. And
it's missing some zombie levels.
Yeah, missing some zombie levels. It's running at 30 instead of 60 like on the HD systems. But everything else is almost exact, and you got the pointer controls, which you can tweak.
You can play Zork.
You can play with classic controller. Blah blah blah. So it's really good. But if you have the ability to play it on HD, I probably recommend that.
Hmm.
Instead, save your money for GoldenEye Wii, because I think that's a better game.
It's cheaper. Oh, not on Wii, I guess. It's the same price.
Is it the same price? Yeah. So, but GoldenEye DS on DS is not great. I had to play that for review right after that.
Huh. Call of Duty on
now.
Yeah, I play. See, okay. So when I played GoldenEye on DS, and I played through it, I'm like, something's not right. And so I booted up Black Ops on the DS, which is by the same developer, probably a different team, but the same developer, and it was so much better. So Nate's going to be doing the review for that, but I don't know when that's going.
Now, if you're one of the four Wii players that cares about online, you said that GoldenEye has some cheaters on it, and it's kind of. GoldenEye
on the DS when I did.
GoldenEye on DS.
Mm-hmm. When I played that online, the first matchup I played with was clearly somebody with like a what do you call it, an action replay because he had like infinite proximity mines. And it was just like littering the wall with like proximity mines to the point where the entire architecture was just breaking down. Mm-hmm. The wall textures was all like but you can't rage quit if you can't have voice chat, right?
Well, I mean, you can just quit.
You just quit.
Isn't it rage quitting? It's going, rah! And then quitting?
No, you just quit. No,
you just quit.
Yeah, you didn't call anyone any derogatory names.
Yeah, that's rage quitting, isn't it?
I think just quitting. If you quit a match and screw everybody else in matchmaking is rage quitting. So like in Halo, if you rage quit because you don't like something that's going on, then it will freeze the game for a long time and it will like imbalance the team so much that they will kick everybody out.
Uh-huh.
So I think it's just quitting.
Well, I played until because it gets a 10-minute time.
But you can rage all you want. Uh-huh. I just think it's the actual quitting that makes the rage quit.
Well, I mean, I think there's a reason why.
I think this is our reader question of the week. How do you rage quit? do you just quit silently, or do you yell some epithets and then
I guess it's up to you, although I am right.
Call of Duty.
We're always right.
Call of Duty Black Ops actually supports voice chatting.
So it sure has it,
but it does not use the Wii speaker.
Yeah, it uses a new
headbanger.
Yeah, the headbanger, and like, which is a ridiculous name for
it's a headbanger, and it's wired, so you actually have a 10-foot cord that plugs into the back of your system,
into the USB.
Yeah,
yeah. And I was trying to get Nate to get one of those to review. But It's not going to happen now.
Yeah. Anything else going on in Nintendo Land?
You guys got your Club Nintendo prizes in.
Yeah, we did. I got my I was smart and I had it sent home. Because I have a feeling that if it showed up here in the office after I left, I'm sure that someone here would have kept it and not tell me about it.
Oh, nobody.
Yeah,
would
I would have totally kept it.
I would have totally
about
kept it.
Yeah.
We are going to keep your Yoshi statue, though.
Yeah, it's already to it's
which Craig has
looking
hidden,
over us all.
He's hidden in a wall panel in this room.
Yes,
it's like the cask of Amontillado.
No.
Nice.
No, it's not hidden. It's not hidden at all. It's not hidden at all. It's in a nice little strategic place that people might not notice. It's there. But it's totally in plain view, it's overlooking us all.
Yeah. It's like where the dead body was in Solaris.
Yes, you're right. That's right.
Yeah,
one of my favorite books. I never saw that.
Don't see the movies. Even the old Russian one isn't that good.
Have, like,
both
the
movies
book by
Stanis,
yeah.
Naked ass.
But the book by Stanislaw Lem is one of the best sci-fi books ever.
I think the only reason why I remember that.
The only reason you remember is George Clooney's butt.
No,
Gregway!
Seriously, we had a guy here who was obsessed with the fact that George Clooney shows his ass in Solaris. And so every time someone brings it, is that the movie with the George Clooney's ass? That's the only reason why I know that.
Was it Bozon?
Nope.
It was Cas Messina.
Nope. It was Manabyte. I don't think anyone knows Manabyte.
Manabyte.
Sounds like a Dunkaroo flavor.
What?
I have no idea.
Sounds like a Kid Cuisine.
Does sound like a Kid Cuisine.
How do you know Kid Cuisine?
Clearly the name is a handle, and people will, if they know who he is, they'll know the...
Oh. Isn't that guy on Gaff now?
He's always been on Gaff.
Gaff. Love you, Gaff.
Anything
Jack DeFries is dissing us right now.
All
right. We will Google bomb his blog.
What?
Let's do some reader mail.
Let's do some reader mail. Craig, weigh into those reader
mails. So if you want to send us... Oh, wait. Hank, last eight numbers?
7-8-4-3-2-1-9-8-7-5.
That's more than eight numbers. But no, it's actually 8-9-5-7-3-8-0-5.
8-9-5-7-3-8-0-5.
Someone got through like half those, and they're like, oh! They should have waited for Craig's voice.
Craig,
did you read
because
did you read
they're going
backwards?
To skip around in the podcast,
uh-huh.
Can we put like four numbers at the end, just to F with them?
Yeah.
Read by you.
No, I won't read them. I'm a legitimate player here.
Okay. Yeah, but
I think
we're
we should put that quote from Craig about orbits
because
at the end of the
podcast. Go through and they're giving tips to the readers that they just start like skipping every like 3 seconds until they hear you say numbers and then they go back 2 seconds and read it. So I think you should.
So
trick
you
them.
Should. You're saying
in a few
should,
minutes you should trick
so,
them again.
So like right
I think
now,
you guys are overthinking this.
Yeah. So right now you should. You're saying that I should say 5-0-8-3-7-5-9-8-7-4-0-2-1-7-9-8.
Craig, they don't do that on GameScoop.
Yeah.
Good. I'm gonna start reading the
UPC symbol.
Those were the fake numbers.
0-5-4-9-6-8-9-0-3-7-0-0-0-5-0-4.
Like character recognition or
voice
recognition.
We have to make it harder and harder. So next time it's you say four numbers, then you say four fake numbers in 5 minutes, then you say four real numbers, then four fake more numbers.
All right. So there won't be a next time.
There won't be.
Hey Jack,
we're gonna keep going. Yeah.
Steven Haberman wants to know if you've gotten any game time on Gamer Crush.
Nobody has hit me up on Game Crush, surprisingly. Some dude hit me up and was like, oh my god, you work for IGN? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, that's so cool, I feel so honored. And I'm like, hey baby, you want a party? And he was like, no. So but yeah, much like I thought, that website probably does nothing for most people and nobody ever gets any money from it. I would seriously doubt that people who even get a lot of time on there get their money. But nobody
has even...
You need
to push your boobs together.
Oh, yep. I'll push my boobs together next time. I'll get a better picture in there, show a little cleavage. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if anyone wants to...
Maybe a blurry
picture
of you in your underwear in bed, taken like
the
from
angles.
The top down.
Yeah, I gotta get the angles so I look good. Yeah, if anyone would like to play with me on Game Crush, which I don't actually check regularly, the username is Weasel. That's W-E-Z-E-L. That's different from everything I use because I do not want to be found on Game Crush. And I'm on there. It's my picture. I say I work at IGN, which is a dumb idea. And you can hit me up and pay money. Something like 60 cents a minute.
That's
some
crazy.
Absurd amount
you
of money.
You know what? I used to pay that much to get tips from the Nintendo helpline.
I used to pay that much to talk to Santa Claus on those 900 numbers.
Well,
you actually called?
That was not Santa Claus.
976.
976, yeah.
Nintendo was 208, I believe, Washington.
I called the Sega helpline and got cheats for Vector Man from the 900
really?
Number. Yeah, my mom got mad.
I learned how to get use the long jump in F-Zero because you had to hold the shoulder button. I never realized that. Remember that?
We were dumb.
You had to hold some button.
Before the internet.
I called him to ask help on Bart versus the Space Mutants.
The game was so hard.
Well, I mean, where do they even begin with that?
First of all, throw it away.
You need like a 60-page walkthrough for that game.
I got to the mall, and I couldn't get across the cement pit.
So Nintendo had help for third-party games?
Any game.
Yeah. Wow.
Any game.
Wow.
Except for, like, the bootlegs, probably. Well, that would have been great, though, to call out Captain Novalin or, like, Bible Buffet.
Yeah.
Those aren't really
hot
bootlegs.
Hot slots. Oh, they're bootlegs. Well, I guess they're just...
They're not bootlegs.
Unlicensed.
Unlicensed.
Bubble Bath Babes.
Yeah. Phoenician, my favorite company.
By the way, if you want to have your questions answered on the podcast, nvc@ign.com, just send us an email. Just like Ben. Hey, Scott. Ben says he just wanted to share a little fun fact.
Oh.
He named his Wii Legion.
Cool.
That's it. That's the email that I got. There you go.
Way to go.
After your favorite Paul Bettany movie.
Yeah.
After the Mass Effect villain.
Just wanted to let you know.
All right. Thanks, Ben. I named my Wii that box.
Oh, maybe you asked people to tell them what they named their Wiis or something.
Did I? I don't know.
I don't know.
Well, see, that
we always forget what we ask people.
Because Jack had actually said, like, call us if you think it's okay to say fake number, or write us if you feel it's okay to say fake numbers. And then a bunch of people wrote us.
All right.
I think I said,
hey, listeners, do you think I'm in the right yelling at you guys for saying fake numbers?
And no, Jack actually said, like, write us if you something.
Oh. Now I want people to write us their favorite Paul Bettany movies.
Yeah. Wimbledon. Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
Wait, Paul Bennett, is he the one?
He's the poor man's Jude Law.
Yeah.
But was he the one that was in The First Knight? No. The one,
yes.
Was
yes,
the first
he's
Knight?
Chaucer.
Okay, yeah. Good.
In First Knight.
Huh.
Yes.
Albino in the Da Vinci Code.
I'd like you to write us and tell me what your favorite episode of Nova is.
All right.
I think it's the one that they always showed in health class, how a baby is born.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Also, which that tape of
How
Anne of Green
done?
Gables is your favorite? Tape one or tape two?
Clearly tape two.
So, were you the Shakespearean? No, you were the, in college. You said you read
books. I studied the English.
Okay. Michael
American literature.
Has said, hey, Koopa Overlords, how's it going? I love your podcast
a
lot. Probably more than Nintendo loves reworking old franchises.
Oh, snap!
Oh, man, you just told Nintendo.
I honestly could have worded that better, but it was too mean.
How is it too mean?
Anyway, I wrote a poem for you. Oh. It's not the best, but hopefully
is
it'll give you guys...
Is it an iambic pentameter?
That's what... I'm going to have you read it, and you tell me. Hopefully, it'll give you guys a laugh.
Give me a pen. I'll mark out the meters.
It's better not use rhyming couplets.
Try to guess whose perspective it's written in.
Mario's.
And so
whose
I'm gonna,
perspective it's written in.
So I want you to read
Scott
it.
Bromley's.
I want you to read it verse by verse.
I'll read it like Hemingway.
Okay.
No, I won't. First,
call me Papa.
First of all, it's not in a... It's
a Dory's B.I.G.
Okay, it says, "Avast ye Koopalings, in my attempt to slay, I have been slain. All my efforts rendered vain. A fool and a red cap, thousands dead, rotting turtle shells, fundy-shaped brown flesh. O Goombas, O Koopas, alas, all in vain. For what do I keep this woman here, this blonde mistress he holds so dear? The center of his hopes and fears, center was spelled the British way here, rendering his heart so queer, whose end draws near." Well, it's obviously written by British prince perspective. Oh, alas, alack, he draws near. Sorry.
Well, he used the word queer, so it's obviously Birdo.
Yeah, well, I would say he also spelled center the British way, so this guy's clear.
Centre?
So,
it's Bowser.
What are we supposed to say about this?
What perspective? It's Bowser.
Or Donkey Kong, if he's talking about Pauline.
He says blonde.
Blonde mistress.
So, next email from John.
It's a good poem. I like it.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Is it called? Is it the title of Vast E Koopalings? Oh no, the title you did not read. Sorrows of a Young Tyrant Turtle: Opening Sentiments. Ah. That is amazing.
Wow.
I'm sorry I butchered your poem. It was kind of thrust in front of me. I just watched a great Charles Bukowski documentary though, and I tried to emulate him in my reading.
There you go. This is from John. I've noticed that all of the Game Boy Advance games I own have the only four label in the upper left corner. Considering that it had virtually no competition at the time, is there any GBA game that isn't only
like
for GBA?
Question.
And the answer is they basically put the only for GBA because like they were selling those games while the Game Boy Color was still on the market. They just wanted to make sure people knew that it wouldn't work on
But to answer his question, like, I mean, There was lots of games that came out across all systems.
Super Mario Brothers 3 is not
Grand
only
Theft
for
Auto,
GBA.
You know?
What?
I said Super Mario Brothers 3 is not only
well,
for
although
GBA.
That was called New...
That was called New
else.
Super Mario... Or
no,
it was called
Super Mario World Advance 4.
Yeah.
No, but if, on the box itself, there'll be Game Boy Advance, and then it'll be for GBA in the corner.
What about Perfect Dark, only for Game Boy Color?
Yeah. So they just did it to kind of clear up any confusion.
But it didn't have a competitor, really, for the Game Boy Advance years, right? So there wouldn't have been anything that...
WonderSwan.
The DS.
Yeah.
The DS was a competitor of the Game Boy.
WonderSwan.
Oh, WonderSwan.
Sorry, that was a little Scandinavian. What the?
WonderSwan.
It was a poltergeist. Thing.
So I revealed earlier today on my... Was it people.ign.com? What do you call it? It's IGN?
My IGN
blog that I'm leaving. And apparently already we got a letter saying... this is from Ian. Hi, Craig and the Gan. I'm sorry to hear that you, Craig, are leaving IGN. I've enjoyed reading your comments and reviews on games for so long that I don't know that I know it won't be the same without you. Who is going to take over the Nintendo team and the podcast? I hope the podcast doesn't stop because I always enjoy listening, even when additional numbers are added to the end of the codes for Wii or DS.
Speaking of which, 0549869037000.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, we can't reveal who's going to be stepping in my place. We can't reveal. No one in this room is stepping in my seat.
Oh,
well, sorry.
What?
Well, not yet.
Whoever takes over, I suggest that instead of always making it a contest to see who can type the code into their system first, you should occasionally pick a random email and give that prize.
Yeah, because that's what matters. Your stupid Wii codes.
not every week, but gives us those who are unable to listen to the podcast right away a chance to win the points once in a while. You know, it's fastest fingers, guys. This is the way it works.
I expect you to get smartphones, subscribe to the RSS, and start listening while you're in high school.
There you go.
Yeah, the reason we want you guys to have free, you know, Wii points is mainly because we want you to listen to the podcast.
Yep.
Not write us. It's funny when you write us, and I try to respond, but come on.
It's just to get you guys excited and listening.
Yeah.
I also have a question for Putnam Whipple.
Oh, yes, I am here.
Sorry it's not phrased in the correct way, but he is the world's greatest Nintendo fan, and if anyone knows the answer, it will be him.
Okay, thank you.
I recently finished playing through Link's Awakening again for the first time in about 8 years.
Oh, Zelda.
And I find myself wondering, why are there 26 seashells? I understand 20 because they're needed for the L2 sword, but there's no point in getting 26 except for being able to say that I got all 26. There's no question there, but... Other than why is there 26 seashells?
Yes, I have question. If 26 seashells all come together in Triforce, they create Ganondorf with turtle shell in Mario Land. Thank you.
All right,
I got a pro tip about seashells.
Dumb. You're dumb.
If you see
Putnam, this proves it. Like,
Putnam Wobble's dead.
Putnam Wobble is dead.
If you're just walking around and you see plants that are shaped like a cross.
Uh huh.
Dig in the middle. Just give it a whirl.
This one's from your Zephyr.
Not
your Zephyr.
What? Oh. Okay. His brother,
noticed,
my dirigible.
Have you noticed that some publications rate and review games based on something other than the merits of the system in the game they're rating or reviewing? I ask because recently I read Game Informer's review of GoldenEye. It scored poorly, which is fine, but the reason for the low score seemed suspect. It read more like the 10 reasons to buy a high-end gaming PC than an honest evaluation of the GoldenEye experience. How do you feel about publications that do this?
The article titled 10 reasons to buy a high-end gaming PC? Because it might not have been an actual review.
Here's your problem. You're reading Game Informer.
Yeah.
Well, it is free.
Yeah.
Well, you have to pay for your GameStop card.
Usually they include it when you trade in stuff. It's like, oh, if you get a subscription, it's generally free because we add 10% to your trade-in value.
Yeah.
But, you know, I haven't read the review for Game Informer, but I don't have an answer for that one.
Yeah, I mean, there are journalists that will kind of lose sight of the, especially regarding the work, and they'll start to review a game as if it were a 360 game, yep. And they'll start to get lower scores. Especially, this happens a lot with multi-platform things, if somebody's reviewing all, like,
yep.
three versions, it happens a lot. I
did see Nate getting...
Bakugan got seriously underscored by Chris Rover for the Wii.
I know that that Nate got kind of crap for the Wii review for Black Ops. People were, like, the fan sites were complaining that it copied and pasted from the 360 and PS3 version, which is fine because it's the same freaking game.
That's what it should do.
Yeah, it's like, why would you spend so much time writing multiple reviews for the same game?
We actually took the PC version, and I mean, I'm not trying to offend Wii people, but we turned off every single graphical setting, and like, I mean, it's indistinguishable. Yeah. Like it's just the Wii version is just a tiny little like low res version.
It's lower res, framier, but it's the same game, so a lot of the things that Nate said in his 360 PS3 review applied to the Wii version. There's nothing, so why would he write an entirely different review?
That says a lot, because the Wii is generally thought of as underpowered. He can't do 360 stuff. And it does a competent job. It just, you know, doesn't do smoke and fire so hot.
Oh, I've got a few more minutes. Let's see. This one is from Chris Dorkson.
The dork.
Yeah. Hey, Craig Manson, your buddy the dork, according to my last name, with a difficult 3DS quest. Yes. I was thinking about the new feature to transfer your DSiWare games over to the 3DS. Then it occurred to me, what are we going to do with the camera-specific games? My best example would be Photo Dojo, where you take 2D pictures of yourself fighting a game. Do you think there will be a way to turn the 3D off of the camera? Yes.
Yes.
One lens will just probably not work.
Yeah.
That's the answer to your question. Or do you think they could do a free or payable update, Photo Dojo 2 or something like that, and then take pictures of yourself in 3D poses, and then fight other people in sort of a punch-out like game? I'm guessing they won't do an update. They'll just make a Photo Dojo 3D version.
That'd be kind of cool.
The Kinect is going to do stuff like that, too.
Did you see the tech
Jedi
demo?
It's so cool. This guy hacked the Kinect and was taking 3D images of stuff, but then it actually rendered them like polygons. So he held up like the Kinect box in front of the camera, and it took a picture of it, and it looked like a flat screen.
Yeah.
And then he like rotated the image, and like it knew it as like a polygon.
Well, did you
that
see
was
the,
skinned
you see
it, and everything.
But did you see the live video?
Oh, yeah.
The guy's just that he's sitting in front of his computer and going, hey, I have my Kinect aimed right at me. You're seeing what the Kinect's seeing. Here, let me move things around. And he actually, like, takes the video image and then starts to move it in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he's coming out of the wall, and he's actually, like, kind of he's surfaced. Obviously, there's nothing behind him because the Kinect can't see behind him, so it's just black.
It's not taking a portrait. It's taking like a panorama all the time.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we knew it could do that because they had showed off the ability to scan objects, and it would. I mean, like with Milo and everything, like you're supposed to be able to scan things, and they're supposed to be able to get in the game.
Mm-hmm.
The initial trailer they did had that kid who held up his skateboard, and then his skateboard was in the game.
Yeah.
So, like, obviously there was some sort of thing in that, but nothing's used it yet.
I can't think that Nintendo isn't just killing themselves over this right now.
No.
It's like, why didn't we buy this tech? I don't know, man. This just
seems
like something they should have.
Because they have their own tech to worry about. It's like they don't. There's no like Kinect is cool and everything, but I just don't think it's as good as everyone thinks it is.
No. I know that, but it's so appealing just to watch and like
it's also very expensive. It's a very expensive peripheral. So
more expensive than the hologram system that they're building.
We have crossed the hour threshold. This thing is going to crash on us. So we should end this podcast, my final podcast, my final Nintendo voice chat podcast.
Happy airship voyages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Chin-chin.
Craig,
I'll even make a chin.
Guys,
noise.
Good luck on your future Nintendo voice chat.
Nintendo dreams.
And
I'm sure we'll all be taking
out, Billy
we'll
Joe.
Be taking off this voice chat so fast.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. I really appreciate it.
Still frames in your mind.
And if you want to like keep track of what I'm going to be doing in my future life, you can catch me on Facebook. I think you just type in Cranky Craig. You can find me there. Twitter, Cranky Craig. My email, crankycraig at me.com. At me.com.
Nice.
Yeah. I pay for $100 a year for that me account. So. But again, thanks, guys. Thanks for a wonderful 13 and a half years.
Thank you, Craig.
Thank you.
I'll see you.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.